The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. We read in verse 13, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was displeased, much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them." The parents brought their children to Jesus because they knew that Jesus was righteous, he was good, he had power. They knew that Jesus was a blessing to their children. My friends, as parents, we must bring our children to the feet of Jesus too. He has power, he has authority, and he is the only one that can truly bless them. He's the one that can heal them. He's the one that can save them. These parents trusted Jesus to possess their children. And we must do the same thing. We must entrust our children to Jesus, knowing that he will care for them, take care of them, and that he will, not only in this life, but for all eternity, be with them and watch over them, my friends. And we do this every day by fulfilling our commandments of being a loving mother, a loving father, by instructing them when we rise up, when we walk by the way, when we sit down, and when we lay down at night, by binding God's word upon our gateposts and upon our doorposts, and it being as frontlets between our eyes. We show our children God in everything, and we teach them about Jesus in everything, showing them not only by our words, but by our actions and how we live, how we forgive, how we overcome difficulties, showing them that they need to go to Jesus. Because we can only take them so far. They have to then take the steps to sit in his lap, so to speak. They are the ones that have to finally make those steps to go into Jesus' arms. But we must do all that we can to bring our children to Christ and to help them trust him just as much as we trust in Jesus too. We see that with Jesus, though, the children had no qualms about going to him. The children wanted to go to Jesus, which gives us some insight into the character and the nature of Jesus. Jesus is no doubt an approachable, kind individual. There are times that he would spout fire, and John the Baptist talks about the time when Jesus literally will bring forth fire and fan the flames. And whenever we read of him speaking to the hypocritical leaders and those who knew better, he did speak fiery words, and he spoke words that were very strong, and he condemned them unabashedly and unashamedly. But my dear friends, whenever you see those that really needed him, and whenever you see him around the children, he is approachable and he is kind. And so it's a good lesson for us in that. Christians are not to be standoffish people. That's not the way Christ was. The people came to Jesus because he could heal them. People came to Jesus because he could provide for them. And he can do that in ways that we can't. So we're no Jesus in that regard. We understand that. We are humble. But still, my friends, what Jesus did is he made it possible for people to come to him. And he removed stumbling blocks out of the way. And so we do the very same thing. Whenever we become standoffish individuals and we become stern and just quite nasty, we set stumbling blocks in the way of people. We may not personally like to be around people a whole lot because of just it's our personality, but my friends, we cannot do it to the point that we cause people then to think that this is how Christians are. And many people do believe that about followers of Christ. And who's the one that really is blasphemed in all of this? Not so much you and me, but rather our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is blasphemed. His ways are drugged through the mud, and lies are spouted about his nature and his teachings. So let us strive to be approachable like Jesus and kind like Jesus. Smile and give people a reason to ask of the hope that lies within you, so that then you have opportunity to answer with meekness and with fear. Fear and reverence for God Almighty. And not be like his disciples here and deciding that, well, who has a right to come to Jesus and who does not. That's for God to decide, not us. We bring the children to Jesus, we bring people to Jesus, and it's between him and them as for how the relationship is going to go. Jesus tells us something else about children, and that's a lesson to us of how we need to become as children. Whenever we look at Scripture, we see two main ideas, at least, that are brought out about us being like children. Jesus says this point, that unless you become as a little child, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. We'll talk about that in detail in just a moment, but there's a flip side to that. And that is that we are in some ways not to become like children. If you remember in the book of 1 Kings, we read about Solomon whenever he becomes king. The psalm that was read just a moment ago was the Psalm of David, where David talks about becoming like a child, which will tie into what Jesus said a moment ago. But Solomon talks about being like a child here in a way that perhaps isn't as, well, let's just read it and let's talk about what he has to say here. Okay. And it's in 1 Kings chapter 3 and beginning in verse 7, where he is saying this to the Lord, "O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people?" Solomon is as a little child. In a way, like David describes, he is humble. He is not high-minded or lofty. He recognizes his role. He recognizes his responsibility. But he's humble, first and foremost. And that's one of the great ways that we become like children. We are humble. And we recognize that there are those in authority over us and that we do not understand everything. There's much, in fact, that we do not understand. Solomon brings out another point about being like a child here, and that is, he basically says, "I'm ignorant. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to govern these people. How can I distinguish between right and wrong? And how can I then lead them?" Whenever Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 writes a similar message, I think, about being a child, he had this to say, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child." Paul talks about whenever you are a child, there's a bit of ignorance that goes on there and a misunderstanding of things. He says, "But whenever I became a man, I put away childish things." So here's that flip side. So we are to be like children in every way that is good and great, but there are aspects of childhood and childish things that we do put away. Whenever we grow into maturity as Christians, we put away ignorance. We put away a misunderstanding of what is right and what is wrong. We embrace what is true and what is good in that regard. We become more discerning in that way. We take just a moment and we look at the context of what Paul is talking about here. We understand what he's saying and what aspects he brings out here. The context is talking about spiritual gifts, right? Going all the way back really into even chapter 11, but particularly in chapter 12 and continuing through chapter 14, where these brethren are desiring spiritual gifts above others. Speaking in tongues was a big one. They desired the ability to prophesy. They had desired the ability to do lots of things, healings and such. And Paul lets them know that when it comes to these desires they have, it's it's misplaced, and they misunderstand the point and the purpose of these gifts. Chapter 13 is the chapter on love, where he describes them. The gift they really need to be seeking is love, because love is universal. It's something that all can possess. Love is eternal, because God is love. He makes the point that when it comes to these other spiritual gifts, they are temporary. They're going to go away. Verse 8. Prophecies, they shall fail. Tongues, they shall cease. Knowledge, it will vanish away. That is miraculous knowledge that they had, understanding of God's word. All of these things are going to go away. And they are really only a part of the picture to bring us to that which is the whole picture. As he says here in verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And that's now in the context where he utters this phrase, whenever I was a child, I spoke as a child, thought like a child, but whenever I became a man, I put away those things. What he exposes in them is a childlike attitude or a childish attitude, and that they are unable to distinguish what is most important. Kind of like what Solomon talked about. There's a lack of wisdom on their part. Whenever we are growing in maturity, we put away childish thoughts and childish ways in the sense that we now are going to focus upon what is right and good, upon the things that actually have importance in our lives and the things that are not, and not be distracted by the things that, though they may be good in and of themselves, are not really the end-all be-all. But all it's only something to help get us there to eternal life, my friends. And whenever you look at the Corinthian congregation, which is brought out here in the context of these chapters once again, is that there was divisiveness. These Christians were a bit petty about things. One of the ways it manifested it was by the gifts that they wanted, and by saying, well, I had this gift, I'm better than you. That sort of attitude. Paul says whenever we are becoming like mature Christians, we put away pettiness. Again, because we focus on what is most important. And divisiveness goes away then. Again, because we become unified in peace and love and desiring to be like Jesus Christ and like God, not compromising the truth by any means, but all having that same sort of focus on what is, again, most important in the matter, right? So our perspective has changed. And we're not gullible anymore. We are discerning in the way that we see things and the way that we understand things, and we filter things through the wisdom that God has given us. To finish out what Paul says here, he further emphasizes his point by saying in verse 12, for now we see through the glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as I also am known. Now if I abide in faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So Paul brings out another important point here that ties into what David had to say. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall, even as I also am known. So though we do put away this gullible, petty sort of mindset that we are not able to, and again, focusing on things which are not most important, there is something that we still realize in all of this. Going back to this humble idea, there are things that we just don't know. Paul says that we will know, but Paul recognizes that there are things that we simply do not understand and that we do not know. And thus we cannot really comment on. And this brings us back to the childlike faith that David described in Psalm 131, where he says that his heart is not haughty, his heart is not proud, his eyes are not lofty, his eyes are not conceited. Neither, he says, do I exercise or concern myself in great matters or in things too high, difficult, or profound for me. What David is saying here is not that he never thinks upon things that are serious or things that are righteous or high. But his point is there are things that we as men cannot understand. And so the good aspect of being a child is that we do not become overly concerned with those things and distract ourselves with those things. That again goes back to what Paul says. There are things that we know But there are things that we don't know. We know in part now, and we accept that, like a child accepts it. And so then we do not speak on things that we don't have understanding on, but we humble ourselves before God. And we would not think to be so prideful then, to then tell others that we understand aspects of God, His nature, His Word, when we don't really understand it. And this can come in different forms. It may come in the form of we don't understand, maybe because it's not because we can't, but simply because at the point of our Christian maturity and our study of God's Word, we simply don't know the answer yet. We may not understand all the aspects of, for instance, like we talked about this morning in our adult class concerning funds of the church. We may not understand all of that. And we may not be able to explain that to a person. We're not going to abandon the truth then. But we're not going to either try to pull the wool over their eyes and be prideful and say that we do understand it when we don't. So in that aspect, my friends, we must be like children, in that we are going to be humble with our neighbors and our friends and our family members whenever we're talking about Jesus. If we don't know the answer, don't say that you do. It doesn't mean that you abandon then the truth on it. It doesn't mean that you're going to change your belief. But you're not going to try to say that you understand why or that you can explain it from Scripture when you can't. And there are times, my friends, though, that there are aspects of this world, this life, Christianity, God, which we simply cannot know. We simply cannot understand because we are finite beings. We are temporal beings, and we are not God. God has given us great wisdom, great understanding, but we don't know everything. There's an example of this that we talked about most recently, and that's with the Sadducees concerning the resurrection. They concerned themselves with something that they did not understand. One, because they didn't understand the Scriptures as Jesus brought out, so there was that lack, and their pride got in the way. But two, they were talking about something that they couldn't really understand. You remember the question, the unanswerable question that they had offered up to the Pharisees about this woman who had seven brothers, and if she were to then get married to one of them, he died, she got married to the subsequent one, etc., etc., so that through her life she was married to seven different men. Well, then whose husband was she going to be in the resurrection? Well, the Pharisees couldn't answer that. They couldn't answer it because there was no Scripture written on it. The Sadducees then, though, had the poor mindset then, the prideful mindset of then, well, since you can't answer the question, there therefore can be no resurrection. Jesus exposes them and says, really, that they are speaking on things that they do not comprehend. And he tells them that in the resurrection, in heaven, it will not be like here. We will be like angels in the sense that we will not be married to each other. And thus he destroys their whole argument in one moment. And then he goes on to rebuke them for not understanding the Scripture and that God is the God of the living. And that it is of necessity to deduce that necessary inference. That's an example of necessary inference then. That the resurrection is in fact true. God is the God of the living. But see, they had allowed themselves to talk about things, speculate on things, and develop an entire doctrine and theology on an idea that they did not have any insight in, really, and that they could not understand. And so, my friends, we must be wary of that. People do this everywhere. They've done it for a long time, such as talking about different degrees of heaven and hell, talking about the spiritual world and the nature of angels and the devil, etc., origins of it all, that we simply don't know. And for us to build doctrines and ideas around that and teachings of, we say, of Christ around that is foolish and prideful, arrogant and wrong. And what happens, my dear friends, when we do that too, is we then start to put the traditions of men or the doctrines or theologies of men ahead of the simple, plain gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Children don't have a tendency to do that. Children do not have a tendency to overthink things and get themselves in all kinds of problems. Part of, you know, Paul, whenever he was writing to Timothy and Titus, told them multiple times to avoid what? Vain questions, vain ideas, speculations, which lead to nothing but further dissension, division, and misunderstanding. Paul also described people that go about seeking and searching after the truth, but never actually coming to a knowledge of the truth. It's unprofitable study and speculation. And my friends, that is absolutely rampant throughout our world. And we as Christians, as wise Christians, put that away. And we do not become prideful and engage in discussions like that. We simply leave it as, we don't know. We know in part now. One day we will know. And be satisfied with that, my dear friends. It's not wrong to be curious, but it is wrong whenever we start to look into those things and develop ideas and preach them as true, and then we really do not know. Be cautious in that regard, then. And that's one way to be like a child. And thus we go back to what Jesus is saying, and let's further emphasize a few other points about being like little children. We're not prideful, but we are humble. What else do we see about the children? Something that we brought out already is that they are trusting. They trust Jesus completely. And so it is with God. That's part of that. I don't know, but that's fine. Whenever we are children, we don't understand things about how are we going to get food, what this aspect of taxes, health insurance, all of that stuff. You don't worry about those things when you're a child. I don't know. Mom and Dad are going to take care of that, and that's okay. I don't know how God is going to sort everything out in the end, but I know He will. And I'm going to leave it to Him to do that. And so I'm not going to get overly worried about it and sick over it, because I can't do anything anyway. And Satan would have me to be discouraged. Satan would have me be dismayed, to distract me then from doing my chores now, what God would have me to do now. So trust God, my friends. Part of what you see in children, too, is they are loyal. Children are loyal. Children are faithful. They will stick by their parents no matter what. Even if their parents are bad to them, they still will stand by their parents many times, especially little children. You notice Jesus emphasizes little children here. We are loyal to God no matter what. We are faithful to Him no matter what. And here's the grand thing. He's never going to abuse us, misuse us, mistreat us, forget about us. He's never going to do that. And so we have no reason to ever leave Him. He never gives us a reason to. But we are unyieldingly loyal to our Heavenly Father, to Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit. And thus that brings us to another point about little children, is that they do not have a tendency then to be rebellious. Little children again. My friends, we are not rebellious against our Father, against His laws and rules. We accept it for what He says. That's good enough for us. Because why? We are pure also. And that's something else about little children. Little children are pure. They do not come with the biases and the baggage that many of us do as adults. We are pure. Then because God has made us pure once again. We forgive, my friends, like little children forgive. And we forgive speedily like little children, seeking to save the relationship so that peace can be restored. Not hold grudges. Think vengeful thoughts. This is our friend. This is our playmate. This is our brother or sister, and we want to have peace between them. Because what fun is it then to just be on your own and isolated? We know that there's no real joy in that. We are loving too, my friends. It brings us back to that loyal aspect. We are unconditionally loving to God and to our neighbor. And in all of that, then, that causes us then to be humble, as you already mentioned, in our role, accepting what God would have us to do. We also are honest, and we love the truth, and we love justice. Isn't that something that we see in children that's so wonderful and beautiful? Children love justice, what's fair and what is right. And we love that too. And children, even though we mentioned a moment ago that in many ways children are not discerning like we should be as adults. They are many times unwise, and they don't see the full picture, and we should strive to be more wise and strive to be more discerning. There is a way in which children are many times more discerning than us, and that is many times being able to judge the character of people. Little children many times can see a person for what they really are. It doesn't matter what they look like or what they say. If a person is trustworthy and good, children have a way to almost sense that. And a person who is not trustworthy, God has given them the ability to sense that too. Obviously not perfectly. But my dear friend, let us be more like that, more discerning in that regard, in the character of people. And again, like what Jesus instructs us about knowing a tree by its fruit, and wanting then to associate with those that love the truth like us. Not because we don't love the others, but because we know that we have to keep ourselves safe. My friends, whenever we become like little children, when we take all that is the very best of childhood and being childlike, we become better people, simply put. Retaining your curiosity about life and goodness and your love of God, it's a wonderful thing. Your love of people and your trust, it's a wonderful thing. And if we can take all that is the best, the very best of being like a child, and couple that with all the best that it is to be an adult, to be wise and discerning and tempered with our emotions and in control of ourselves and tempered with our speech, then we truly can become individuals that are quite spectacular. But the spectacular aspect really is about how we can then be utilized as a great tool in God's kingdom. And we give our children then the very best example we can in bringing them to Jesus and getting them to trust Jesus too. And so, my dear friend, this morning I ask you, have you become as a little child before Jesus Christ? Do you trust Jesus? Do you love Him? If you do, then humble yourself before Him this morning. If you already are a Christian, humble yourself before Christ once again and ask forgiveness if that's what you need. Say that you're sorry so that the relationship can be restored. And if it's something that we can help you with, then we want to do that, to pray with you and for you. Trust God and trust God's people. And if you need to become a child of God, if you have not yet been baptized, then again, humble yourself before Jesus today and come to Jesus. Your parents have brought you to this point, many of you. Now it's up to you to take those final steps to enter into the arms of our Lord and Savior. Trust Jesus, my friends, today. Let us all trust Him as we stand and as we sing.